This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is Friday. I know it doesn't really feel like a Friday because of the holiday, but it is a Friday at 5 o'clock, which means it's time for the 5 o'clock sip presented by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Celebrate with Surfside. 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Here's what games we're sipping on this weekend. Of course, the game we've been talking about all day. Niners-Seahawks tomorrow at 5 from Santa Clara. Winner wins the NFC West and claims the one seed in the NFC. Tonight, the Warriors host OKC, and they got Utah tomorrow, both those games at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, we got the rest of the NFL slate with a number of games in the NFC really, really important to the 49ers. We will get into that in just a little bit here as well. But that is the 5 o'clock sip presented by Surfside. All right, out to the phones as promised, 888-957-9570. Jan in Mountain View is up next. What's up, Jan? You're on Willard and Dibbs, but Sterling and Grandy today. Happy New Year. What's up?
Happy New Year to both of you. I just want to prove the doubters wrong out there. I feel confident that Brock can bring this home. I mean, I've seen him over the last two or 3 weeks, and I mean, he shut me up. I mean, he doesn't look like he has anything wrong with his toe. I mean, he's moving around quite well, and he knows where his players are, where he throws the ball. He just and I think Kittle's back tomorrow night, and confounded, I believe that they can bring this home. I mean, we want to get that Super Bowl. I've waited since 94 for another one. And, I mean, we've been so close and been knocking on the door, and it's time to bring this thing home. And I'm ready. And I think Brock is ready, too, and the whole team. So go Niners and bring this thing home for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jan. You're getting me fired up. Jan's saying how she's waited since 1994 for another one.
We need to prove it.
Jan, Sterling and I are waiting for our first ones.
God bless America.
Oh, man. Jan is the best. But, Jan, you've at least experienced a Niners Super Bowl. Sterling and I have not.
Like, oh, heck yeah.
No, heck no. Heck no. We need to experience our first Super Bowl. But, this is, like, other than postseason games, Sterling, and Purdy has played in a bunch of those, so this is not, like, a top five, like, most important game that Brock Purdy's ever played in, because he's played in multiple big postseason games. This is by far, though, the most important regular season game Brock Purdy's ever played in, and it's not close by a mile. Like, there is, and considering what the defense is, Sterling, and what's on the line, this is probably the most pressure combined with, like, the most that Brock has ever been asked to do in a game before in his career as Niners quarterback, because when the Niners were in the Super Bowl and in the postseason, they had a really good defense, and they had all pros all around them offensively. This is a game that is of the utmost importance, as important as a regular season game can get, while also you're asking the most that you could possibly be asking of your quarterback.
That's what I was going to say. Like, even when Purdy came off the bench in 2022 and was the quarterback in the last half of the season, they go on this magical playoff run that, you know, ended unceremoniously against Philadelphia. Like, they had a great defense that was helping carry the load, right?
Yeah.
Where now Purdy doesn't have that defense, and you know, you're right. This is the biggest regular season game of Brock Purdy's career. It's a game that we've seen him win a lot of times. He's beaten the Seahawks plenty of times. He has clinched divisions against this Seahawks team in 2022, Thursday Night Football, short week, broken ribs, pulled it off, wearing the white throwbacks out there on the road. at Lumen Field. So it's not unfamiliar territory to him. It's just maybe some more pressure on his shoulders. But the good thing is, although different personnel, different teams, different quarterbacks, Kyle Shanahan is 2-0 in t-shirt and hat games against the Seattle Seahawks. 2019, Dre Greenlaw tackle at the 1 yard line. They fend off Seattle on the road, get the victory. Then again, 2022, they clinch the division Thursday Night Football against Seattle, and now they have an opportunity to do it for a third time with Shanahan and company facing off. So hopefully they can keep it undefeated, and hopefully they can remain 3-0 in t-shirt and hat games, division clinching games, for those that don't understand the reference, against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, that that 2019 game was, oh man, that was special. And I wish, Sterling, that this week's game was also a Sunday night football game like that game in 2019 was.
Yeah, what a travesty.
But instead, okay, I'm going to be real careful because I love going to Chase and I love working Warrior games. Instead, I had to choose. Well, I didn't have to choose. I was assigned. I'm glad to do it, but I'm at Chase Center tomorrow. I'm not going to be at Levi's. I'm not going to be able to watch. I don't know if that's worth the drop. I'm not going to be able to watch the Niner game live, Sterling, because I'm going to be at Chase Center watching Warriors and Jazz.
Oh, don't lie. You're going to have the game on your phone in your pocket and looking down every couple of plays.
It'll
and
be on, but that's no way to take in a game of this magnitude. I'm going to tape it, record it, and go home at midnight and watch it tomorrow is what I'm going to do.
So are you gonna see the outcome?
I'm going to see the outcome. It's impossible for me to not see the outcome. I'm gonna see it.
But for your analysis purposes, it'll be
absolutely
a review game. Get the teach tape out for Mark Grandy at the house.
Absolutely. Okay. I just want everybody to know I put out Grandy's grades every week, whether or not I watch the game live or not, and when I don't, because I have Warriors responsibilities. I go back and I watch the game before I put my grades out.
Wow.
So my grades
this
are always
man is
authentic.
Dedicated.
They're always
dedicated.
They're always authentic, Sterling.
See, this is what I'm going to do. I'm right now in Northern California, my parents' house. I'm going to drive back 5 a.m., try to get back to my home, and hopefully watch the Panthers-Buccaneers game and the Niners and Seahawks game, and hopefully not get yelled at by my wife for the next 4 hours during that time. It'll be, Sterling, why are you yelling? And I'm like, you don't understand the meaning of this game. But hopefully it'll be all nice and quiet at the house if San Francisco wins. And if they lose, it'll be a lot of pouting and upset behavior because I'll just want to sink my teeth into maybe a nice sandwich and cry into my nice hot cup of coffee as the night ends. So hopefully it's the latter, not the former.
But well, let's try to help her out and explain why the game is so important. Because she's not listening, right? Like maybe there's,
You never know. She's an enigma. You never know what she's doing right now. She's out there doing her antique shopping, but 95.7 is in her ears. I promise you that, Mark.
Yeah.
She wants to know what's going to happen on Saturday between the Niners and the Seahawks.
I guarantee that. So, okay, let's try not just for her, but for everyone out there, because like your brain could just absolutely explode trying to figure out all the scenarios and who's going to be what seed, and if I'm a Niner fan, what should I be rooting for, obviously, other than the Niners to beat the Seahawks? What is on the line here? What would a loss for the Niners mean? Who would they play in the first round and all of that? If you think the NFC is tough, by the way, try to figure out the AFC. Like, I'm just kind of giving up on trying to figure out all the different permutations because there's like 80 million of them. The NFC is a little more simple, but still can be pretty confusing. So, Sterling, let's try to give Niner fans a rooting guide, a viewing guide for the weekend of week 18 for the NFL. So if you're a Niner fan, obviously you're interested in the Niners-Seahawks game tomorrow. That part is pretty simple.
You think.
You win the NFC West, and you're the one seed. When you're the one seed, you get a bye directly to the divisional round, which means you only have to win one game, that divisional round game, before the NFC Championship game. And as the one seed, you would get to host that NFC Championship game, assuming that you, of course, are in it. And for the Niners, the added benefit is the Super Bowl is also in Santa Clara. You would get to host the Super Bowl as well. Okay, so easy enough there. Win this game, you're the one seed, and you get a bye to the second round. And at that point, opponents, it's hard to predict because it depends based on who wins, what are the matchups in the first place. But if you're the one seed, you're worrying less about matchups because you know you're already on to the next round anyway. So let's just fast forward past the Seattle and San Francisco game, Sterling, and say the Niners lose. I know I don't want to put that out there into the atmosphere, but let's just say the Niners lose. What should the Niners be rooting for otherwise? Because the Niners, Sterling, if they lose, are looking at being either the 5 seed or the 7 seed. We don't yet know who that, or pardon me, the 5 or the 6 seed. They cannot be the 7. They would either be the 5 or the 6 if they were to lose tomorrow. But what would that mean for who they would play in the first round and what their path might be to a potential NFC Championship game? Sterling, the only games they would need to be worrying about are Detroit at Chicago, Arizona at the LA Rams, and Washington at Philadelphia. Those are the three games that will be determining everything. You could also include Carolina and Tampa, and then also Atlanta and New Orleans in there. That only really matters to be determined if whether it's either Carolina or Tampa as the 4 seed. Regardless of what happens there, that team that comes out of that pack will be the 4, and you should want to be the 5, whether it is Carolina or Tampa Bay. So we can ignore that basically just for the sake of making this as easy as possible. But it all comes down, Sterling, to those other three games. Detroit at Chicago, Arizona at the Rams, and Washington at Philadelphia, because that will determine who's the 2, who's the 3, and if the Niners or the Rams are the 5.
Yeah, I think obviously you want to win. That makes things really easy and streamlined. Yeah. But if you lose, I think the one game you are truly paying attention to is that Rams-Cardinals game on Sunday. Niner fans, obviously we do this every single week, but you're rooting against the Los Angeles Rams. You want the Rams to lose because if you're not going to have the 1 seed, you for sure want to have the 5th seed.
Yes.
You want to give yourself what seems to be the easiest first-round game against either Carolina or the Buccaneers. I think I'd rather play Carolina, but
I agree.
You know, the Buccaneers are kind of a mess, so who knows? But that's kind of what you're hoping for. If Niners are going to lose tomorrow, and we hope they don't, but if they do, you are rooting as hard as you ever have for the Rams to lose against the Cardinals, and somehow, some way, Jacoby Brissett having a career game against that Rams defense, which you never know. He set a record against his Niners defense, so anything is possible. That said, I don't think you truly care about you know, what happens with Chicago and whatnot. Like, again, but if the Rams win their game, then it gets interesting because then you are maybe playing Philadelphia on the road or Chicago on the road. And I don't know which team I'd rather play. I'd probably not want to play the Bears. Maybe that's just me. They have a much worse defense than Philadelphia does. But I don't know. I just think Caleb is right now head and shoulders ahead of Jalen Hurts, and you're playing better quarterbacks and stuff. And Philadelphia seems out of whack. They just seem like they're having a Super Bowl hangover of some sorts, but have found a way to win some games in a pretty bad division. So Niners lose, you want the Rams to lose. If the Rams win, you are hoping for what seems to be the Bears to pull off the victory against Detroit to maybe match up against Philadelphia in round one at the Link in the wild card round.
Interesting. So you want the Niners to play Philadelphia in their first playoff game if they happen to fall to the 6th seed.
That to me seems like the better opportunity.
Wow.
And I don't think I, you know, that wouldn't be something I feel like I'd normally say because Chicago's defense isn't that good.
Yeah.
But I'm much more scared of Caleb Williams than I am Jalen Hurts at this point in the season.
Wow. That's
Hurts
interesting.
Hurts stinks, Grandy. Hurts stinks.
Yeah, their defense is insane.
I think he stinks.
You're right. The defense is insane, and it'd be a big test, but it's like, oh, my dog just sneezed. Oh, he's sneezing again. Oh, my goodness. He's sneezing again. Well, I think he wants the Niners play the Bears in the first round of the playoffs, not Philadelphia.
I agree.
I don't know. Just something about Philadelphia doesn't really scare me as they once did a couple of years ago. Maybe I'm foolish. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. Philadelphia to me doesn't seem like the juggernaut they once were 1 year ago.
Okay, I want to lay this out in my opinion, the way I think the Niners would want this to go. So again, say the Seahawks beat the Niners tomorrow. Niners are either the 5 or the 6. You, of course, want the 5. And the way that you get to the 5 is you lose tomorrow. And then also Arizona beats the Rams, as you already said. If that happens, you're the 5, you get either Tampa or Carolina, which is by far the best situation of this. So you're right. Yeah. Number one, root for the Rams to lose. That seems unlikely. So let's say the Rams win. It means the Niners are going to be the 6 seed. The 6 seed plays the 3 seed. Now we have to figure out who the 3 seed is. The options are the Bears or the Eagles, as you talked about. Those are the two options to be the 3 seed, which are the only two opponents the 6 seed could potentially be. And again, just to reiterate, the Niners would be the 6 seed if they lose and the Rams beat Arizona, which isn't like that difficult to imagine. Seahawks, Niners feels like a coin flip, and Rams are heavily favored to beat Arizona. So that seems relatively like easy to imagine. All right. If you want to play Chicago as the sixth seed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago is the three seed if Detroit beats them and if Philadelphia beats Washington. So the way for the Niners to play Chicago in the 6-3 matchup is Detroit beats Chicago and Philadelphia beats Washington. If you want Philadelphia, which is what you're talking about, Sterling, and Philadelphia becomes the 3 and you play them as the 6, you need Washington to beat Philadelphia or Chicago to beat Detroit. So Chicago beats Detroit. It does not matter if Philly wins or loses versus Washington. Philly would be locked into the 3 and you would get the Niners. So again, in my opinion, I want the Bears before I take the Eagles. So if the Niners are the 6, which means Niners lose and Rams win, I think Niner fans should be rooting for Detroit to beat Chicago and Philadelphia to beat Washington. That would push Chicago down to the 3, Philadelphia up to the 2. That also, I think, does something interesting. That would put Philadelphia up to the 2, which means the 7-seeded Packers would play Philadelphia in the first round. You also want to try to figure this thing out where maybe you could get the Rams to play a really good team, but the Rams are going to be the 5 seed in this scenario, and they would take on Tampa Bay or Carolina. But for me, I want to avoid the Philadelphia defense at all costs, and the only other option is Chicago, which means I'm rooting for Detroit, and I'm rooting for Philadelphia to win. So the Niners in this scenario would get Chicago in that wild card round.
I mean, the easiest way to put this is that, hey, Niners, take care of business tomorrow night, and Seattle goes to the 5th seed, the Rams are the 6th seed, and you have Seattle against whoever wins the NFC South, and then you are what seems to be, if all things go well, maybe it's Rams and Philadelphia at the link in the wild card, which is a rematch of last year's playoffs, and maybe could be a way for the Rams to get knocked out or whatnot. So to me, it's like, how can you avoid playing your same division for a third time? That's what I want to avoid in the playoffs, and if you do that, hopefully you get Carolina, who has played the Rams, played the Seahawks tough, but beat the Rams early in the year, and hopefully Rams get Philadelphia on the road, which anything can happen. Darnold in January can turn into a pumpkin, and Stafford has shown a lack of, I guess you could say, MVP-level performance over the last 4 weeks or so with multiple turnover games against the Falcons and against the Panthers. So it's all up in the air, but really, Niners, get the win. It makes everything a lot easier for you, and hopefully you can avoid playing the Rams or Seahawks once again in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. And this is what the 510 just texted on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 510 stating the obvious to begin. You want the 1 seed, and then you want the Eagles and Rams to play each other in wild card weekend. And yeah, you're absolutely right, 510. That's the way that is the dream scenario, in my opinion.
Right.
Because that means you get the 1, you get the bye, you advance already to wild card weekend. And the Rams have to go on the road to Philadelphia for a really, really tough matchup. Now, if I'm doing the math right in my head, Sterling, that would mean the Seahawks would be the 5 and the Rams would be the 6, which means you would need the Eagles to be the 3. And the way, again, the Eagles are the 3 is if Washington beats them or if Chicago beats Detroit. So this is, of course, going to hinge, in my mind, obviously it's going to hinge on what happens in San Francisco between the Niners and the Seahawks, of course. But because I want the Niners to play the Bears in a first round and I would be eager for the Rams to play the Eagles, I'm going to change who I'm rooting for in those matchups based on what happens tomorrow. Because if the Niners lose, I'm rooting for Detroit and I'm rooting for Philadelphia. If the Niners win, though, I'm rooting for Washington, and I'm rooting for Chicago. But in that instance, I only need one of those teams to pull that out in order to set up Eagles versus Rams in the wild card. Does that track? Can you follow?
Dude, I am following you to the end, Grandy. But another wrinkle into this is that Philadelphia is resting a lot of their starters, so it seems like they're pretty content as the number three seed, knowing they can guarantee a playoff spot but can't guarantee a rise in the standings. So Philadelphia seems not okay, but they're pretty safe as at least a third seed. So they seem okay losing on Sunday against the Commanders, who are also starting their third string quarterback, Josh Johnson. So
Josh Johnson, still gathering a paycheck.
Hey man, good for him. Generational wealth is a fifth string quarterback in the NFL. Doesn't come very often. When you can get it, you'll take it. So.
How many teams has he been on now? Like 17?
He is the Octavio Dotel of the NFL. It's everybody.
He's the Ish Smith. Yes. Of the NFL.
Yeah.
Or Ish Smith is the Josh Johnson of the NBA. The Josh Johnson of the NBA. Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that makes sense because it is a lot of moving parts. The Niners can be the one seed. They can be the five seed. They can be the six seed. The five seed seems the least likely because that would mean a Rams loss to Arizona. That would be a major, major upset. Although the Rams... I think I heard Sean McVay say that they're going to play everybody, even though they kind of don't really care about where they're seated. They said they're planning on playing everybody. I think they're lying. I think they care about where they're seated because everybody wants that five seed, and all they need to be the five is for Seattle to win and for them to win as well, which, again, it's a coin flip and then a heavy favorite. So they seem like a relatively safe bet. For the five seed, we'll see how it all plays out, of course. But you would absolutely, Sterling, rather be the five and take on either Baker Mayfield, who's forgotten how to play football, and Bryce Young, who maybe never learned how to play football, versus either the Rams or the Bears in the first round. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate part is here is that, like, you have to have a little more help for that to happen, right? If you don't win, you're praying for a Rams loss, which, I mean... Even if the Rams rest their starters, it's still Tutu Atwell and Jordan Whittington playing receiver, and Jimmy Garoppolo is their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And I know Jimmy G isn't a world beater, but it's better than what the Cardinals have to offer at this point in time, knowing how many guys are hurt and how bad they've been. But like, just look at the difference here. Like, you're either the number one seed playing, you know, having a bye week and playing whoever wins in the wild card round, or you're playing Philadelphia essentially. Like, that's kind of what you're looking at, either on the road in Philadelphia at the link, which maybe scares other people more than it does myself, but clearly Philadelphia is still a good team with the defense they have, or you have a week off. That is the kind of spectrum you're playing within, and in there is playing the fourth seed, but that seems like a long shot. But it's like, that's the two realities that are probably going to face San Francisco. Bye week, or you're playing Philadelphia on the road. Obviously, bye week is much more, that's much more appealing to Niner fans, and I'm sure the team as well, because nobody, even if you are one of the best teams in football, nobody wants to go play at the link in the winter months because snow. And no one likes snow, especially with Brock Purdy playing quarterback who, the rain affects his hands. So hopefully it doesn't happen in the playoffs.
Well, okay, let's take it even a step further because... obviously, the first round is a big deal, and who you play, whether it's a bye or playing, say, in Philadelphia, is a big deal. Let's say that the Niners finish as the sixth seed, and Seattle's the one, Chicago's the two, Philadelphia's the three, Tampa Bay or Carolina's the four, the Rams are the five, the Niners are the six, and Green Bay is the seven. That would mean first-round matchups, you have Chicago versus Green Bay. You have Philadelphia versus the Niners, and you have Tampa or Carolina versus the Rams. You pick the Rams to win that matchup, of course.
Yeah.
You pick, I mean, Green Bay, Chicago, assuming Jordan Love is back, is not going to be a blowout either way.
Toss up.
Without Micah Parsons, it certainly becomes more difficult for Green Bay, but I could see either team winning that game. And then you have Niners versus Philadelphia. And just for the sake of this argument, let's say the Niners win that game and beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia, but it's a very tough game. The next round, Sterling, that would mean, let's just say that Chicago at home gets the job done and beats Green Bay, which is probably the likeliest outcome given that that would be a home game for Chicago. If that happens and the Niners beat Philadelphia, the Niners would have to go to Seattle for the divisional round. Let's also say, of course, the Rams beat Carolina or Tampa in the first round. That would set up Chicago versus the Rams and Seahawks versus the 49ers. 49ers in Seattle. I would favor the Rams to go into Chicago and beat Chicago. That would be my pick. Yeah. And then let's say the Niners somehow up in Seattle win that game in Seattle versus the Seahawks. So now you're looking at a win in Philadelphia and a win in Seattle. Your reward would be taking on the Rams, who's probably the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
So the difference in winning or losing tomorrow, Sterling, is looking at having to go to Philadelphia, Seattle, and LA to take on the Rams in your three NFC games in the postseason. And that, I don't care if Brock Purdy plays like Tom Brady for those three games. I don't think the Niners are winning all three of those games. That seems impossible to do.
No, what is that? That's the best defense probably in the entire playoffs, at least in the NFC bracket. Then you're playing the Seahawks, who probably have the second best defense in your conference, who you're going to play tomorrow too. So you're playing them two times in 3 weeks, which doesn't bode well for any team, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah.
And then you have to play the best quarterback in the entire league this year.
Yeah.
Like it's not a great path to the Super Bowl. And if you win that, you're probably playing, obviously, the best AFC team out there, with whether it's Denver or the Patriots or whatnot, or maybe it's Josh Allen. It's like you'd rather have the easiest path. Every team would. And it's not open to a lot of teams to have the number one seed still, right? It's you or Seattle, basically. And it's like when you have opportunities like this, you got to grab that brass ring, because like you laid out just now, Philadelphia on the road, Seattle on the road, Rams on the road. That is a gauntlet that most teams can never overcome, winning three of those games, let alone one of those games. Like, beating Philadelphia is its own Herculean effort and test, but then beating Seattle and the Rams, just, you know, you hate to say that the Niners' Super Bowl odds end or continue tomorrow, but you can certainly make that case that if they lose tomorrow, you can say sayonara to this team ever, you know, winning a Super Bowl in their own place this season.
Now, it's not as if the other is an easy path either. It just means you get a guaranteed win, and you're already on to the division round, and you get to be at home, right? You'd be in Philly, in Seattle, in L.A. But let's say you are the one seed, and just continue this out for a little bit. Niners are the one. Say Chicago's the two. Philly's the three, Tampa Bay, Carolina the four, Seattle the five, the Rams the six, Green Bay the seven, which is, I think, the likeliest outcome for all of the seeds if the Niners were to win tomorrow versus the Seahawks. That would set up Chicago and Green Bay. It would set up Philadelphia and the Rams, and it would set up Tampa Bay or Carolina versus Seattle. You would favor Seattle to win that game. You would, again, somewhat of a toss-up, Chicago and Green Bay. I would lean Chicago at home. And then you would probably, I mean, Philadelphia, the Rams, we saw that matchup already in Philadelphia this year, and Philadelphia won on a dramatic special teams play at the end. The Rams, though, I think deserve to win that game more than Philadelphia did. And I think in this matchup, I would probably favor the Rams just a little bit. Would you agree with that? Would you favor the Rams over Philadelphia, Sterling?
Probably, just because how good Stafford's been and the offensive weapons they have, but Stafford's also played pretty bad recently, so that may be a toss-up too, but yes, for this exercise, we'll favor the Rams in this case.
Now then, that would mean with Chicago beating Green Bay and the Rams beating Philadelphia and Seattle beating Carolina, the Niners would get to host the Rams in the Niners' first playoff game, which also is not easy, but it's the first playoff game you've had to play, and you're at home, and then you'd have Chicago versus Seattle in Chicago. I would favor Seattle in that game, and that would mean a potential NFC championship game, if you were to beat the Rams, is Niners Seahawks. So you're looking at having to play your division foes likely anyway. That's just how good the NFC West is. So the difference, Sterling, isn't really that by being the one, you're getting an easy matchup in your first game. It's just that you're home, you get a bye, and you already advance in the postseason. It's not really about the opponents as much as it is about the bye, getting the rest, getting healthy, and obviously already being only a win away from the NFC title game.
Well, and we're missing a big factor in this is that, you know, Fred Warner might come back.
True.
And that's the biggest difference of, like, can you avoid playing a game during the bye week, and in the upcoming practices leading into the divisional round, you get your best defensive player back, your leader back, and the heart and soul of your defense on the field again. And I don't know what Warner's status would be and how healthy he'd be, and maybe there'd be a snap count or some hindrances involved and whatnot, but I'm sorry, you put Fred Warner in the middle of San Francisco's defense against any quarterback, my money's on Fred Warner coming out on top. So, you know, again, there is wrinkles to everything, and you know, whether it's the Rams game, the Panthers game, the Seahawks game, Niners game, Bears, it doesn't matter. Like, all those games matter in some kind of way, but really it comes down to Niners need to win to at least give Fred Warner a chance to come back, and that gives their defense a chance to maybe be better and more formidable against what seems to be quarterbacks like Stafford and Hurts or Donald, who they probably will play in the next month if they can get that far. So, again, tomorrow means not everything, but it means a heck of a lot because this team desperately needs a bye week, and they need Fred Warner back. I want to see Fred Warner come on that Levi's Stadium field carrying the flag and running out. You cannot imagine the roar of that crowd, how hyped this defense would be. There's something to say about momentum, right? Winning six games in a row. You can win seven maybe tomorrow night against Seattle, but also you win seven in a row with a bye week, beating your division opponent at your place for the number one seed for the division, and then Fred Warner comes back 2 weeks later. I'm getting goosebumps, Mark. Grandy, I'm getting goosebumps. Forget Grandy's grays. I have Grandy's goosebumps right now,
that's,
man.
That's weird.
That's how hyped, that's just how crazy things can be and how special things can be for San Francisco with the win tomorrow night.
Yeah, so I mean, that is simple. Win tomorrow and everything else will sort itself out. If you happen to lose, I do think the Niners should be rooting for Green Bay to get up to the two, which would mean, or pardon me, Philadelphia to get up to the two, which would mean a Philadelphia win and a Chicago loss. We'll see, of course, though, how it all plays out. We will know, of course, what the Niners should be rooting for, or in your opinion, what they should be rooting for based on what happens tomorrow at Levi's. Niners, Seahawks for the division, for the one seed, 5 o'clock tip from Levi's. It'll air on ESPN. More on the Niners in a sec. First, though, it's time for Triples for Autism, which is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made 24 three-pointers on New Year's Eve versus Charlotte, which means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Steph and Pods, they made 5 each. Guy and QP, Quentin Post, both made 3. Al Horford and Draymond made 2 each, and a few others chipped in with the make. That's the 34th donation of the season for Triples for Autism. Great job, as always, of course. To make a donation to Autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. All right, we've got about 10 minutes before we hit a break here, Sterling. I wanted to bring up Shanahan specifically. I know we talked about it a little bit and how great he's been this season. I want to take it a step further. I know I said the Niners win tomorrow. He will win Coach of the Year. Frankly, I think he probably should win Coach of the Year regardless. I will predict that he will win the award if the Niners win tomorrow. He won't if they lose. I think he's done the best job out of any coach in the league so far this year. This is a year where there's so many quality candidates that are deserving of it. I think Shanahan has done the most with the least, regardless of what happens tomorrow. But I'll take it a step further, Sterling. I think Kyle Shanahan, because of all the injuries the Niners have had, I think it takes the quarterback out of the running. You could say now Brock Purdy is the most important piece on the Niners roster because he's healthy and playing at a high level. But over the course of the entire season, Sterling, given everything the Niners have been through, everything Shanahan has been tasked with, and the fact that they're a win away from the one seed in the NFC, I think Kyle Shanahan has been the most valuable Niner this season. That's player, that's coach, that's front office executive, that's owner, that's everybody involved with the Niners. That's fans that have an impact at Levi's on the road. The most valuable and the most impactful Niner, any kind of Niner, player, coach, again, anyone, has been Kyle Shanahan.
And considering that this is a players' league that is driven by the quarterback that you have, the talent that you have, not that a coach doesn't have an impact on that, because of course they do, especially Shanahan, the CEO type who is involved in the front office decisions and roster decisions and personnel decisions and all the scheming and all of that. Even with that, I think it's rare for a coach to be the most impactful piece on a football team's season, but I think Shanahan has been that. The fact that they are where they are, I think, is credit first and foremost to Kyle Shanahan and what he's done with this job against Sterling. I think Shanahan, the most valuable Niner so far this season.
I don't think you're crazy, Grandy. I promise you that one. You know, it's there are many times when you see coaches come in, like take Ben Johnson, for example. Like Ben Johnson, you can see his fingerprints all over the construction of the Bears roster and the growth Caleb Williams has made in year two. And the Bears are obviously vying for the number two seed in the NFC tomorrow and on Sunday, excuse me. But like a lot of that comes down to roster construction and things done during the offseason, improving the offensive line and whatnot, and getting in some more defensive players throughout the draft. But you can see that while Ben Johnson has impacted the Bears a lot of that is players making plays, defense getting turnovers and forcing takeaways. Niners defense doesn't get any takeaways. They don't get any sacks.
Yep.
They don't get any pressure. They lost all their defensive stars, minus Lenore, who, you know, having a fine year, not having an all-pro year like he usually does. And it's been up to Shanahan's unit to carry that load of the deficiencies by the defense. And that doesn't erase the deficiencies the offense has had. We can mention every injury they've gone through, quarterback stuff, Mac Jones. Even Mac Jones played hurt at times this season.
Yeah.
And really, I think that stretch of play indicates why Shanahan has been so good. Obviously, the last six games with Purdy back have done that too. But you talk about, oh crap, we've lost Fred Warner. We've lost Nick Bosa. The defense can't stop a semi-truck going through it on the ground in the running game. And the offense just lost George Kittle week one against Seattle, which, funny enough, scored the first touchdown in the season against Seahawks and didn't play the next month and a half or, you know, just over a month. You lose Pearsall, your number one receiver. Your other top receiver's AWOL throughout the season. You have no idea where he's at. You're taking away his guarantees during the offseason. And your quarterback goes, and it's like, okay, we need someone to stop the water flow, put the dam back up, and just reduce damages. And Shanahan didn't just build the dam back up and stop damages. That dude built a bridge over the water and said, we are on dry land, brothers. Here we go. And I think that, to me, that stretch of Mac Jones without Kittle, without Pearsall, losing defensive players, that is where your point, I think, is made. That's why Shanahan has become, or at least has been, the most important San Francisco 49er this season. The ability to keep things afloat and keep this team's head in the right direction. This team is vying for the number one seed. Yeah, because the players have made plays, but because, like you're saying, Kyle Shanahan has been so freaking good in 2025, leading backup quarterbacks to what could have been, you know, winning records and all this stuff. Like, he's just been so good, getting guys open, losing receivers, tight ends, offensive linemen. I mean, Mike, this guy has lost everybody and has found a way to help this team persevere. There has been nobody else who has lost so much yet still come out successful like Kyle Shanahan has done in 2025. So you are 100% right. He's the most important 49er this season.
Yeah, obviously, like, just keeping the team afloat amid injuries is amazing, and it's one of the things that he's been tasked with, but I think it's really just the tip of the iceberg. Like, it's amazing, and there's so many teams that I think would have just quit around the league based on what happened injury-wise to all their stars. But that's, again, just one of the many things that he was tasked with this year. I mean, go back to the offseason. As, like, the CEO-type head coach, right? Think of him, you know, along with Sean McVay and along with Sean Payton in Denver. Like, those are guys that have personnel responsibilities. I know they have GMs. Like, Shanahan has John Lynch. But these are head coaches.
He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. Like, the buck stops with him. And he, if push came to shove, is the guy making the ultimate decisions in the rooms in a lot of these instances. So he has that. It's not just about drafting, but it's about this offseason, which was a dramatic one for the Niners. Saying bye to Debo, figuring out which players, and really more accurately, what money to move off of, because you essentially got a mandate from ownership saying, hey, we can't lose and spend this much money. You got to get cheaper, and oh, by the way, you got to get cheaper and win more football games. So go do that.
And Shannon had to figure out, all right, I hate to do it, but I got to say bye to Debo. Much like he hated to say bye to DeForest Buckner a handful of years ago. Same kind of decision. Maybe this
Dre
one was
Greenlaw, Tano Hufanga.
Yeah, exactly, Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga as well this season. He then had to figure out which players, of course, to keep, which goes hand-in-hand with who you're getting rid of. He then had free agency and trade moves on the margins because that was the only thing that I imagine ownership greenlit for him to make. And he settled on Mac Jones, who kept the Niners' season afloat. They would not be in this spot without Mac Jones. Who knows? Their season, I mean, they probably wouldn't make the playoffs. Their season would probably already be over. They traded for Sky Moore right before the season began. And while it was a little questionable early, Sky Moore has been great and has been a big reason why their special teams unit has suddenly become one of the best in the NFL. He added Keon White along with, again, John Lynch, who's involved in all these decisions. But again, Kyle Shanahan, as the CEO, is driving the bus. He added Keon White again for like a sixth round pick and got a seventh round back in return. And Keon White has been positive for the 49ers. You signed Cleveland Furl off the street, which is, oh, whatever. That's just the guy off the street. That's not a difficult decision. You needed a body. He's been all right. You keep the ship steady with some minor Juwan Jennings drama late in the offseason and early in the season. You somehow avoid major drama with the Brandon Ayuk stuff, which would have caused so many issues in other locker rooms. As you're talking about, you find a way to overcome all of these injuries. You made three great hires in your coaching staff this offseason. Robert Saleh was a home run. He doesn't get credit for that. That's the obvious one. But Brant Boyer on special teams. Gus Bradley to help out on defense as well. Shanahan has basically every step of the way, given the limitations he was asked to follow, Sterling, I think he's maybe other than the decision to not go after something more at the trade deadline, he's basically made every single right decision almost on every single one of these one of these spots.
Well, it's like every time he's been asked to pivot, he somehow finds the right place to step. And, you know, a lot of guys couldn't do that. A lot of coaches would have folded. You saw the Vikings this year lose McCarthy, who I know isn't Brock Purdy and probably will never be, but they folded. The Vikings came into the year feeling like, okay, we have a good defense and a quarterback that yet to be proven, but they folded. The Lions this year, who came in with Super Bowl aspirations, lost a ton of players, and they folded. They're missing the playoffs. It is a lost season for a team that came in thinking they should be in the Super Bowl when the year's over. Meanwhile, San Francisco, off a down year last year, really the vibes weren't that good for the fan base either. You had no idea what they were doing in the offseason. Whenever your ownership group mandates you cut spending, that usually spells another down season for the franchise. And Shanahan said, no. We're still going to make this thing work. We're going to persevere, and we're going to pull through. And we already laid out every facet in which he succeeded, but they're all right. Again, maybe the one thing and not getting another body at the deadline, but that's kind of hearsay of like, maybe you couldn't pull a deal off because the asking price was too high. And I think, you know, he gets so much credit for the play on the field, and that clearly has his fingerprints all over it. But when you kind of bring in everything into the picture, it's like, oh my gosh, this guy has been borderline perfect all year long in every step they've made. Shanahan deserves Coach of the Year and deserves, and really, maybe even Executive of the Year. That's how great he's been. Just nuts to say, but that's the case.
Yeah, I think he's been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's why I think he's been the most valuable Niner this year. Player, coach, front office, personnel, everybody involved with the Niners organization, everybody on the Niners payroll. You know, Shanahan has been the most valuable, and maybe that doesn't sound shocking to you because he is the face of the franchise. Like, it's Kyle freaking Shanahan, but that's normally not the case with head coaches in the NFL. Coaching, of course, has a gigantic impact in the NFL, but generally speaking, the player that's going to have the biggest impact, the person that's going to have the biggest impact on a football team is one of the players, and specifically, it's going to be the quarterback. But Shanahan has been able to, I think, outshine everybody in that regard. And the Niners would be lost if anybody else was their head coach, in my opinion. All right, we got to hit a break. But coming up tomorrow, of course, the biggest game of the year. And you know where to be. That's hanging out with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings at Laughing Monk Brewing. right down the street from the stadium. And of course, if you're going to the game, there's a free shuttle back and forth, and all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. But you better do it quickly because seats on the shuttle are going fast. That's 957thegame.com, and we're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. It's Willard and Dibbs, but Sterling and Grandy Inn will wrap things up coming up next on 957 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.